We come today to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Let's hear the Lord's word. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he openeth, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I pray that the Lord of Grace is ministering to your heart at this time, and that you are spending time in the Bible. This book of Revelation has been a tremendous encouragement to my own heart. It has strengthened my faith to understand that in the drama of life, in all the battles, all the challenges that the Christian faces, that the Lord always gives the victory. And even those that are martyrs are remembered, they are raised up from the dead, and they will stand with the Lord, who will worship him and praise him for his great mercy. And I hope that today that you will be encouraged as we spend time in this book of Revelation, chapter 17, as we look at the mystery of the woman. I also want to recommend to you our little booklet called A New Beginning, and there is a section here on assurance, and I want to read that to you toward the close of the program, and then to recommend this booklet. You can also read it online if you choose to go there, cloverdalefpc.ca or ltbs.ca, and it'll bring you to the site. Look for literature and you'll find the booklet A New Beginning. And I hope that by the grace of God and by the power of the gospel, that you will have a new beginning, a new life, by receiving a new heart. That's the gospel. Jesus saves sinners, and he draws us to the cross. May there be a word for your heart today as we let the Bible speak on Revelation chapter 17. And so tonight, souls are either with the wicked kingdom of this world, which is Antichrist and anti-Christian, or you are with Christ and for Christ and worship in the true Christ. Which are you? Every one of us has to decide. There's no neutral ground. There's no in-between. You cannot serve one and not and the other at the same time. Now, another point in verse 3 is that she is a political woman. It says in verse 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names and blasphemies." And then at the end it says, "having seven heads and ten horns." And that's the key. The key is hanging at the end of verse 3 as to the political involvement of this woman. Because in verse 16, again, this chapter is the glossary. It helps us with terms and symbols to understand them. And it says, "And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." And so these are kings, and they hate the woman, and they seek to fight and oppose the woman. Now, if you go back to verse 12, might be an even more helpful verse, "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receiveth power as kings 1 hour with the beast." And then back to verse 10, "And there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is." And so this reference at the end of verse 3, the seven heads and the ten horns, they are a reference to kings. They are political rulers and powers. And this woman, this system, Babylon, is enmeshed and is seeking to lure these political systems to support, to give clout, and to back her system. And many do, blindly, and they add torment and persecution to the whole agenda. Right, so we have a woman, we have a worldly woman, we have a political woman, and then in verse 4, we have a proud woman. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. She is a very proud woman. Note the colors, scarlet. Note also the gold and the precious stones. No wonder our forefathers and the reformers referred to the Church of Rome as the whore of Babylon. That's their language. And they did it with much justification. Now, they were living in the days of the heat of the battle,
when the Church of Rome in Europe was seeking to destroy biblical Christianity, and the battle was on, and they referred to her. She lines up in so many parts. She is seductive, she is rich, and glories in gold and silver, and also that scarlet color is very suspicious. Visitors to the Vatican are always shocked at the opulence, not just the art and the cathedrals and the images, but the gold and the dress and the behavior of those that serve in that church. And when you compare the attire of the Pope to the attire of Christ when he was on earth, you're in for a shock. Is this really the true successor of Peter, as they claim? Now, such claims in their pride, purely for their pride, are an abomination to God. If you had that pride in your heart, could you pray and worship God biblically? This is condemning. Now, also in verse 4, you'll see that she is a filthy woman. It says in that verse 4, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, in the eyes of a holy God, these are detestable things. The woman is wicked, steeped in sins, with a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness. And then in verse 5, she is described as the mother of harlots. So she herself is not just a seductress, but she is producing others who under her also seduce others, the mother of harlots. And they commit further abominations. And any who unite with this woman, this Babylon, will be corrupted and fall under the judgment of God. And it's for that reason that God calls for separation. And in Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, we have this great call. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. And so this is the call to separation. And that's what the Protestant Reformation was about. That's what every biblical-minded Christian has had to do. We are not of the world. We are not followers of false religion. We will not be deceived by idols and images and false worship. And we will not, I hope, be deceived by the dollar sign. These are the methods of seduction that this evil system uses. And therefore, we are called to be apart and separate from it. And when you go back into chapter 17 and look at verse 6, you'll see the next thing that identifies this woman. She's a persecutor. That she was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. Now, why is there persecution? Because of the separation. Because of those who will not go along with this system, who will not sell their soul nor sell their conscience to the demands of this great Babylonian system, this mark of the beast, this seduction to go their way and do their things. And so those who oppose it are persecuted, even unto death. And that has been the history of the world. In every century, in some corner of the world, due to some religion, including the Roman Catholic Church, there have been thousands and millions of martyrs who have said, no, we will not follow this system. And so they were willing to lay down their lives and give their lives for the name of Christ. And as we studied back in chapter 6, you have under the altar these martyrs, they're crying out for vengeance, and they are pleading with God, how long? And now the judgment is coming. Babylon is falling and will go down into perdition. This is the judgment of God upon the persecuting woman that is against the people of God. Now, you'll notice verse 7 takes a new turn. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman. And so it is like another illustration coming up now. As I said, this is the chapter of illustrations. And it paints and it demonstrates in very vivid scenes the nature of this woman. And we are told here in verse 7, I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her. Now, I notice the word carrieth her. That means they support her. This is the beast, the devil, supporting the woman, this seductive system. And so there are satanic, demonic forces carrying, supporting the evil agenda of the world. Now, I've called this the driving forces behind Mystery Babylon. And here, God opens up the secret for us as to who this woman is. And he reveals the secret forces that are at work, carrying, supporting, and motivating behind the scenes. Now, in verses 7 and 8, you have this number of references to the beast. I saw a woman. Let's read 7 and 8 together. I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. You see how all these systems are enmeshed and linked together. You have the woman, the beast that carries her, the 7 heads, that's the kings and the political dominions of this world, and they are working together. Now, that beast I take to be the second person of the evil trinity. That's the Antichrist. Remember, in that evil trinity, there are also 3 persons. There's the beast that rose up out of the sea and the beast that rose up out of the land. And this is the second person, the counterpart of Christ, the opposite to Christ. And he is giving his powers to this woman. Now, in verse 3, we had a reference here that he carried me away into the spirit of the wilderness. Sorry, I carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. And this is now this power of Satan. And this woman is sitting upon that beast, carried by her, she is carried by this beast. And this woman who represents Babylon gets her help from Satan. That's very obvious in these verses. And we must remember that behind the idolatry, behind the agendas of whether they be secular, religious, or political forces, behind them is the power of Satan. The satanic agenda is going forward by those methods. And the Christian needs to be aware that behind the veil of earthly governments, kings, and worldly institutions, maybe even Google, Apple, Facebook, and such mighty institutions, that the satanic agenda is driving and carrying them along, all to woo the nations after building this city of Babylon, which is the world. That's the picture that we get here and the driving forces that are at work. And so Babylon is empowered by these means. And if you look at verse 8, you will see that by her devotees and worshipers, She is again driven. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. That means worship. Whose names were not written in the book of life. Now notice who it is that gives their blind devotion to Satan, to the beast, to the false Christ. It is those who are not written in the book of life. They are not the Lord's people. And because they are unregenerate and depraved in heart, they wonder after, they worship the system. Did you ever notice how driven people are about following the world? If you and I were as driven for the Church of Christ as the ungodly man is about building his own name, fame, honor, and riches, the Church of Christ would be a stronger system. But these are very driven, very driven. And this answers the question, how can so many be wrong? After all, we're just a little remnant. We're just a little shrub compared to the great forest of the world. We're just a few. And the Lord addressed his church as a little church. So how can so many be wrong? How can all the great brains, all the scientists and the researchers and the politicians of this world be so blindly led by these forces of darkness? It's like the Pied Piper, who by his music led all those rats out of the city, drowned them in the river. And Satan, by his subtle methods, lures and seduces the riches and the brightest of this world and lures them away to destruction. They're blind and deaf to the voice of God. And of course, it's so ridiculous. After all, idolatry. An idol, an image, cannot see, cannot hear, cannot smell, cannot hear. And yet people, it's just mind-boggling. The wealthy, the rich, the proud, the famous of this world are so bent on following the system of the world. Empty philosophies. Environmentalism, I think you can add that one in there. The New Age, yoga, Eastern meditation. And they're so driven. There's videos, there's books, there's programs about it all the time, driving these vain, empty philosophies. And of course, it's Satan at work, driving the agenda. Now, note that their names are not in the book of life. That's what makes the difference between the Christian, the follower of the Lamb, and the one who goes on blindly on the broad road to destruction. And we need to pray tonight that the Lord awakens individual souls and the nations to the evil systems that are going on. We need to pray that God will break through in revival and turn multitudes away from these vicious agendas. When you think of the education system in our Canadian school programs, it's vicious, it's hellish, it's serving the devil, and people are so driven about it. If you say a word against it, people are so totally offended. And we need to pray that their eyes be opened and they be led into all the truth. Now, I have one more major point, and I'm not going to be able to preach it tonight, and that is the domain of Babylon. And that is a very important point, and I leave that for next week. So I hope that you'll take to heart tonight these sites, illustrations that are given us of the powers of darkness that are at work. Why is it so difficult to evangelize? Why is it so difficult to get worldly-minded people under the sound of the gospel? Why are people so offended with the name of Jesus. It's the very wicked powers that are at work to blind and destroy the nations of this world. And yet in the midst of it, the Lord's going to build his new Jerusalem. While the devil is building his city, Babylon, the Lord is building his city, the new Jerusalem. We'll take that up next week as well.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that you have been encouraged through this message on Revelation 17, the mystery of the woman. If you would like to hear this again, you can go to our website, www.ltbs.ca. ltbs.ca. Now, as mentioned earlier, I'm holding here this little booklet, A New Beginning by Dr. Alan Kearns. And the section I want to read to you is on assurance of salvation. He says that assurance often poses a great problem to people who have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Usually they say that they do not feel as if the great transaction has taken place in their life. They then conclude that they must not be really saved. Usually they are told to ignore their feelings, but this is almost impossible to do. To try to live the Christian life without feeling the assurance of salvation is not something of which the Bible approves. It is obviously unsatisfactory to have a religion that produces no feelings to correspond with the beliefs professed. So, what is the answer? And here is the underline, the statement I want to underline. Salvation comes by faith in Christ. So does assurance of salvation. And that clear statement can help many, many people get over the hump of, after calling on the Lord to save them, how to know with certainty that God has saved their souls. I want you to have the booklet. You can read it online at our website. Coming up now to these announcements. Stay tuned. May the Lord bless you through his word. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.